There is still a lot of work to do in the final days of the 115th Congress. On Friday at midnight, key federal agencies will shut down if lawmakers and the president can't come up with a deal to keep the government funded. But this is also a time to reflect in Washington. Members of Congress who are retiring or lost their reelections in November are looking back at their careers on Capitol Hill. It's something of a tradition for outgoing senators from both parties to publicly say goodbye to their colleagues. And we're going to take a moment now to hear some extended excerpts from those speeches on the Senate floor, starting with Heidi Heitkamp, a Democrat from North Dakota who lost her seat to a Republican after just one term.
In 2000, I was diagnosed with stage 3 breast cancer. And after I got done with treatment, my oncologist told me, you have a 28% chance of living more than 10 years. Think about that. So I knew right away that I had a chance to use what time God gave me for good and noble purposes, to try and do the things that I always thought needed to be done in this country. And it's an important lesson for all of you. The greatest gift you have is not your bank account. Your greatest gift that you have is the amount of time you have left on this earth and what you do with that time. And I chose, for good or bad, to come to the United States Senate. I think when we have a world of options and we make this choice, it is so important that we come here with purpose, not just to be named a senator, not just for the trappings of office, but for purpose. So the truth is, I'm not supposed to be here. I'm from Manador, North Dakota. It's a town of 90 people. When I was growing up, my family was 1/10 population, I just have to say. And my dad was a World War II veteran who loved education, read the paper every day, believed in this country, but he was never given a chance to go to high school. My family struggled to get by. And when you look at it, you think about this. You think about a country where somebody from my background could actually become a United States senator.
Senators from both parties said lawmakers must learn to work together again. That was the message from Senator Claire McCaskill of Missouri, a moderate Democrat from a red state who also lost to a Republican.
To all of my fellow senators and all the many people who work here in the Senate, I'd be lying if I didn't say I was worried about this place. It just doesn't work as well as it used to. The Senate has been so enjoyable for me, but I must admit, it puts the fun in dysfunction. Peter Morgan, an author, said, "No family is complete without an embarrassing uncle." We have too many embarrassing uncles in the United States Senate. Lots of embarrassing stuff. The United States Senate is no longer the world's greatest deliberative body. And everybody needs to quit saying it until we recover from this period of polarization and the fear of the political consequences of tough votes. Writing legislation behind closed doors, giant omnibus bills that most don't know what's in them, K Street lobbyists knowing about the tax bill manager's package before even senators. That's today's Senate. And no amendments. My first year in the Senate was 2007. We voted on 306 amendments in 2007. This year, as of yesterday, we voted on 36. That's a remarkable difference. Something is broken, and if we don't have the strength to look in the mirror and fix it, the American people are going to grow more and more cynical, and they might do something crazy like elect a reality TV star president.
Utah's Orrin Hatch was the longest-serving Republican senator in history. He's retiring in January after more than four decades in Washington. He also spoke about Senate dysfunction in his farewell address.
I was here when the regular order was the norm, when legislation was debated in committee, and when members worked constructively with one another for the good of the country. I was here when we could say without any hint of irony that we were members of the world's greatest deliberative body. Times have certainly changed. Over the last several years, I have witnessed the subversion of Senate rules, the abandonment of regular order, and the full-scale deterioration of the judicial confirmation process. Polarization has ossified. Gridlock is the new norm. And like the humidity here, partisanship permeates everywhere, everything we do. On both the left and the right, the bar of decency has been set so low that jumping over it is no longer the objective. Limbo is the new name of the game. How low can you go? The answer, it seems, is always lower.
Hatch also urged compromise on social issues.
Protecting religious liberty and preserving the rights of LGBTQ individuals are not mutually exclusive. I believe we can find substantial common ground on these issues that will enable us to both safeguard the ability of religious individuals to live their faith and protect LGBTQ individuals from invidious discrimination. In my home state, we were able to strike such a balance with the historic Utah Compromise. No doubt we can replicate that same success on a federal level. That's why, as one of my final acts as a U.S. Senator, I challenged my colleagues to find a compromise on this crucially important issue.
Dean Heller from Nevada was the only incumbent Republican to lose a Senate seat in the midterms.
Since coming to Washington, D.C., my number one focus has always been the people of Nevada and putting our state's priorities first. For example, I worked with Senator Martin Heinrich from New Mexico to level the playing field for the development of new alternative energy technologies to support Nevada's energy diversification. And I have worked with Senator Feinstein throughout my career to deliver resources to protect the Tahoe Basin and fight devastating wildfires. Whether it's leading the Republican charge to extend unemployment benefits in 2014, when Nevada's unemployment rate was nearly double what it is now, or breaking with my party to pass the Violence Against Women's Act, I've always been willing to work with anyone who has good ideas to help move Nevada families and Nevada communities forward.
One of the most closely watched Senate elections in the country this fall was in Florida, where Democratic Senator Bill Nelson narrowly lost to Governor Rick Scott. In his farewell speech, Nelson called attention back to John McCain, the senator from Arizona who died in August.
I caution those who will join this body to resist the pulls of partisan acrimony and the forces that seek to divide us. Tribalism is our problem, and if not corrected, it's going to take our country down. And I know I'm just another senator saying what a lot of senators that are departing are saying. As we all here remember, right over at that desk there, John McCain, in one of his last Senate addresses that he could stand, said the same thing. Now, some of my fondest memories in the Senate have been with those who sit on the other side of that center aisle. And because of this, I know that while Republicans and Democrats may disagree on policy, we have a lot to unify us in our values and principles that we share. And so my parting words are that there's no greater challenge for this Senate than to have the moral courage to choose country over party or over power, to choose justice instead of the few, justice for all, and to give others respect instead of condemnation.
McCain's colleague from Arizona, Jeff Flake, also spoke. The retiring Republican and frequent critic of President Trump recalled the fall of the Soviet Union in the late 1980s and cautioned that the road to democracy is not irreversible.
We are, of course, testing the institution of American liberty in ways that none of us ever imagined we would, and in ways that we probably never should again. My colleagues, to say that our politics is not healthy is somewhat of an understatement. I believe that we all know well that this is not a normal time, and that the threats to our democracy from within and without are real. And none of us can say with confidence how the situation that we now find ourselves in will turn out. Let us recognize from this place here today that the shadow of tyranny is once again enveloping parts of the globe. And let us recognize, as authoritarianism reasserts itself in country after country, that we are by no means immune.
The 116th Congress will be sworn in on January 3rd. 53 Republicans will control the Senate.